In a world where podcasts have become lame and stale.
And now we see on line 33 of the Louisiana tax code that
two men have come to kick it up a notch.
And you see these tax code laws are in place. They're like, who the hell are you?
Ben Heckendorf.
Tell me where the president's dog is.
I will never tell you where the president's dog is.
Tell me or I'll shoot you in the foot.
Never!
Jason Jones.
What the hell is that?
It's a giant asteroid, man. Headed directly toward Earth.
How much time is left to stop it?
One day.
That's six more than I need.
From the internet that brought you a dancing baby and spyware comes the BenHeck.com podcast. On a good day, it's a great podcast. On a bad day, it's the best there is.
Hello and welcome back to the We're Not Dead edition of the Ben Heck podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I am Jason Jones.
And we're not dead.
Just yet. Pink style.
Yes. Well, people have got to realize, you know, there's a Ben Heck show.
That's true.
That takes up time. And then you got to play video games.
Yes. Mm. Play pinball.
Oh, yeah. They get consumed by pinball like me.
Oh, God, that's right.
I thought that was funny how half-heartedly you did that.
Was it that obvious?
Yeah, when we were putting that episode together, we had this Allison Arbor joke. He's like, they're like, oh, they're going to see this and say, oh, great, more ghosts. So
ghosts
anyway,
on the brain.
Well, we still might as do one of these at least once a year. So here are our topics for our end of the year podcast.
They could change.
Yes.
In the course of the podcast.
Okay, we're going to talk about what games we've been playing and our favorite games of the year. Gaming trends, what's going on in gaming, which also is relevant to portables and tablets. Can they live together? Also, phones. Speaking of that, post-PC world. What does this mean? Next subject is Tom Cruise is still a movie star. Yes, and we're also going to talk about movies, I guess.
And then Tom!
Finally, we're going to speculate on the next Xbox, which I think will come out next year.
Yes, probably right. It would have to be by this time next year, I guess, since today's New Year's Eve. But...
Well, your favorite movie. They're not going to let the Wii U be launched uncontested.
Yes.
Okay, well, shall we talk about Game of the Year?
Yeah, why not?
So, approximately 9 billion games came out this year.
Yes, and strangely enough, I bet Ben has played more games than I have this year, or at least more of the big games.
I bought, what was it, like, there was a AAA game that came out every week for...
Yeah.
Well, then there are actually more, but I didn't buy them, because I think, okay, so I got, what was it, Batman, then Battlefield, then Uncharted, then Skyrim, it was like, yep. Bam, 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 bam. And then each week I was trying to beat the game, so I'd have it done in time for the next one. And then luckily Skyrim was the last one, because yes. I don't give a crap about Skyward Sword, which is... Skyrim for babies. Yeah, I just said that. Or Assassin's Creed 10.
Oh, yes. But, yeah. See, that's the thing, like, Assassin's Creed, I liked the first two, especially the second one, but I never played Brotherhood, and then now they've got this new Revelations one or whatever, but yeah, there's just way too much stuff, so it's like I don't end up playing these games, even though I like the series, but...
Yeah, you have to wonder at a certain point... Could there be kind of like this gaming crash of quality where there's just too many AAA games to play?
Could be.
I mean, I would assume most people bought less games than I did. And I couldn't even buy them all. There's just no point. I mean, you either run out of money or time or both.
Yeah. So, and electricity. But yeah, because what did I... Because, yeah, I got Battlefield... Also.
Because they had that amazing Amazon sale, right?
Yeah. So what was it, like $40 or something?
Yeah, which is about what it's worth for a beta of a game. Oh!
Yeah. Yeah, for me, that was like most disappointing game of the year would be Battlefield 3.
It's a lot better with the Carcan. It actually seems like a next-gen game, but yeah. I would concur. I mean, I Well, Worf, too, I was disappointed, I know, but
yeah.
I like it more than you, but I definitely played it. It's like, oh, you know what? Sorry, this is still a console game.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. Yeah, it was like I longed for Bad Company 2 while playing Battlefield 3, so which, you know, it says something about Bad Company 2, I suppose, but also it, you know, it's kind of speaks to the disappointment.
Well, the maps were so linear. Well, most of the maps.
Well, and the destruction was very arbitrary in it.
Yes, that's the problem.
Which, you know, it's like, okay, if in Bad Company 2, it's like, yeah, there are only like two or three building models, but, you know, in general, you shoot a building, you're going to blow out the wall on it, or it can be knocked down.
Yeah.
Where in Battlefield 3, it's like, well, maybe I'll be able to blow out that wall, and maybe I won't. I don't really know.
Oh, look, it's an indestructible recycling can.
Yeah.
Well, the linearity of the levels, like Metro, it's like a tunnel.
Yeah.
Davacon Peak is a tunnel.
Yeah, lots of choke points. Yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like Battlefield to me.
But you said the new maps are better. Like, oh, they're much more epic. And
yeah, I mean, and maybe it's just because they're the older maps, but they're, like, so wide open, death can come from any angle. And they're harder because of it, but
see, that should be their tagline, death from any angle.
But it's weird, I was playing Shiraki Peninsula, and everything was getting blown up around me, and I just thought, like, wait a minute, this feels like what Battlefield 3 should have been. If that makes any sense. I think a lot of it, I think the game basically wasn't finished in October.
Yeah, that's definitely what it felt like.
And the expansion pack was like, oh, look, the game's done now. Because they actually added more destructibility into existing levels.
Oh, really?
Not enough, but
That's interesting.
I don't. There's some sort of magic that's missing from Battlefield 2, and even Bad Company. I didn't even play the campaign. I usually always play the campaign, but I just couldn't get into it. It's like, nuclear briefcase, plot, football. Now, if Tom Cruise is after a briefcase thing, that's cool.
Yeah, well, yeah. It's because it's Tom.
Okay, here's what I think is bullshit. Tom Cruise has made how many $100 million hit movies?
Probably
tons.
As many or more than anybody else.
Right. But he's a failing movie star, but Brad Pitt, who's made maybe like five movies, I think, only 1 year younger than Tom Cruise. He's a movie star, but Tom Cruise isn't.
Yeah.
Nobody gave a shit about Brad Pitt until he dumped What's-Her-Face and married Angelina Jolie, or started dating her.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're into movies, you know, no one gave a shit about him after like 12 Monkeys.
Yeah.
It wasn't until Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yep, pretty much, yeah, with him and her in it. Because, yeah, what was it? There was that, and then, like, the Ocean's 11. Well, the first one was successful, but, I mean, that wasn't just him. You know, it had Clooney and all these
Fight
other
Club
people.
Fight Club bombed when it came out. Don't tell anyone, but it did.
And Benjamin Button, considering how much it made, it really wasn't anything amazing.
Then you have those turds, like 7 Years in Tibet, Meet Joe Black.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, I've never been that impressed with that dude, but like, Tom, it's like he's just got, like, a lot of charisma, you know, and
yeah, he's like a movie star.
Yeah.
It's yeah, and there's a difference between being a movie star and an actor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not what you'd say is a great actor, although he actually takes a lot more risks than most actors. But he's just a consummate professional.
Yeah.
Another thing that bugs me, I guess we jumped ahead in our conversation here, is people are like, oh, he's a crazy Scientologist. Newsflash, there's tons of Scientologists.
Yeah.
It's like, are you going to hate every actor? It's like, if you're going to hate an actor for being Scientologist, you better be ready to hate at least 50% of the actors.
Tom's just openly Scientologist, that's all.
Out of the Scientology closet. He's like the Jehovah's Witness of Scientologists. He, like, knocks on your door and really lets you know.
And then he jumps on your couch. But that's okay. Because he's Tom.
We had a conversation one day at work about likelihood, or what was it, actors, if you do not know if they're Scientologists or not, how can you compute if they are? And, it was base religion and race and age, I think, okay, we came into it. So, anyway, what we computed was Protestant white males were most likely to be Scientologists.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any likely candidates?
Like secret Scientologists?
Yeah.
Maybe like Edward Burns.
Wow, that's just like a totally random poll.
Well, aren't they going to make like a third Before Sunset Rise afternoon.
Well, wasn't that Ethan Hawke?
Oh, isn't that? I thought they were the same character. The same person.
I don't know. I'll have to ask Uma Thurman.
We had this all figured out, actually. Oh, and age, too. So, like, Clint Eastwood would not be a Scientologist.
No.
And I think we also calculated that black people were less likely to be Scientologists. So basically, it's white posers in Hollywood.
Okay,
I guess I should stop talking.
Although supposedly Will Smith is a Scientologist, but
why? He's got enough money. Why does he need to be a Scientologist?
Well, Tom's got enough money.
But you know what? If they want to give all their money away to a church, whatever.
Yeah, it's their choice.
Mm-hmm. So how did we get from Battlefield to Scientology?
I don't know. Somehow Tom Cruise came up, and then it was a natural progression.
Okay.
But Tom is a hell of a movie star, so...
Yeah. Oh, did you realize in Mission Impossible 4, it was the second Brad Bird movie to end with an atomic missile being launched?
Oh, yeah, like Iron Giant. Yeah. Spoiler warning.
Yes, it's exactly the same ending, obviously. Well, it's close. Well, okay, let's go back to the gaming thing. So,
yes.
Yeah, Battlefield 3, I still play it, but I would concur that it was a disappointment.
Yeah.
I didn't play Modern Warfare 10 or whatever it is.
Yeah. I longed for the days of World War II.
Yes, those were good times. What about World War I, like in War Horse? The greatest movie ever made, apparently.
Yes. It only has like 9 minutes of war scenes, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if trench warfare would be that exciting.
Actually, I don't think it was. Basically, you just sit around getting foot rot.
Yeah.
It's so weird to think about. Like, what was? How long was
the
our involvement
medic role
in that,
would
like,
be
what?
Very important in that game.
Yeah, like medic. I've got gangrene. Thanks, Doc.
You'd have to get really good at
right
like
up.
Hacking off feet and stuff.
Oh, and then don't dive into any because remember they used chemical warfare in World War
One. Oh, it's right, mustard gas and stuff. Yeah,
it's weird that of all the things that happened in World War II, they actually abided by the tenet not to use chemical warfare.
Yeah,
it's weird looking back. I guess everything. Oh, they're like, we won't use gas, but we'll use our V2 rockets. Ha ha! Suck it.
Then we'll use some nuclear bombs. What the hell?
But we didn't use any chemical weapons. Okay, let's see. What are some other games that came out?
Well, there's Uncharted 3, which you finished. I haven't yet.
Yeah, I like the second one better. Yeah. It's like the second one was... It wasn't the third one was bad. It was like the second one was so good, it just couldn't compare.
Yeah. Yeah, as far as I am in it... You know, I'm probably like two-thirds, I don't know, something like that. But, yeah, there's been nothing in it that's rivaled anything that happened in the second game.
It's almost like the third game should have been the second game, and the second game should have been the third game.
Yeah.
Just kind of like how Iron Man 2 made all the same mistakes a superhero movie makes in the third movie, the second movie.
Yeah. Because, yeah, then it would have been a better progression, for sure.
Yeah, the second one was just... badass.
Yeah.
But now, what is their next game? I am alive, or we're alive, or something with zombies again.
Something
of course.
With zombies, and it looks like it's kind of a co-op game, something like that. Maybe.
The Last of Us.
That's it, yep.
Yeah, so speaking of zombies, since we have gaming trends on here, apparently every game is going to involve zombies.
Pretty much, at least half.
So what is the attraction with zombies, and like, guys. They're basically zombies. Zombies are to guys as vampires are to women.
Yeah. Yeah, what is it? Something with everybody's got their cubicle jobs and stuff, and so they feel like they're...
How? What would I do if
have a zombie
world
life?
You know, that would kind of suck, you know, if that actually happened.
Yeah.
Because basically, if you didn't have a gun, you'd be dead.
Yep.
You'd either get killed by a zombie or someone with a gun. So you shouldn't want that to happen unless you have like a stockpile in your basement.
Yeah.
And there wouldn't be any internet.
Yeah.
And it would smell too. Can you imagine the smell of all the dead bodies?
Yeah.
Why would anyone want that? These vampires like just bite your blood and
Just have lots of sex.
It's bullshit anyway, either way. What was your pinball machine you wanted to make vampires versus zombies?
Yeah, and it was going to be like Battle of the Sexes. It was like kind of the overriding theme of it, but it was, yeah, it'd be like women were the vampires, men were the zombies in it.
Yes.
Was the idea.
So it's not a Battle of the Sexes pinball machine, but it is.
Yes, exactly.
Because the big thing is getting a pinball machine your wife will let you buy, right?
Yep. Seems to be an important consideration.
Which is why I have a strong feeling that Jack's next game will not be an Elvira zombie game.
Yeah.
It'll be like Alice in Wonderland or something.
That's everybody's just assuming the second machine is going to be an unlicensed game, and I'll be shocked if it is. Because it's like, you know, getting a license is a safe and it's a smart thing to do, because it's like it has a built-in audience and an expectation already. So.
Yeah, if you're spending, like, you know, $5 million manufacturing a line of machines, like $75,000 or whatever for license is a pretty low insurance policy on risk.
Mm-hmm. Well, I could see them making The Hobbit at some point.
Oh, actually, they have Warner Brothers. They're in good with Warner Brothers.
Yep.
You don't think Gary Stern is going to try to make The Hobbit?
He might try, but I could see that being one where there could be kind of a bidding war between the two of them, maybe.
And Jack would be like, yeah, people like games about little short people, so yeah, I'm going to make a Hobbit game. And, you know, we already did Wizard of Oz and it had midgets, so I think it makes sense. So Jack impression is the same as Joe Balser impression.
Oh, there you go.
Get him on a conference call and you wouldn't even know who's who. I guess we haven't been on. So we know most of the people involved with that Jersey Jack pinball thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So therefore we have all the inside knowledge. Not really, but.
We have some, I guess. And some we can't speak of.
Well, you're getting one of those games, right?
Yep. Yeah. Whenever it shows up.
And you stole my Spider-Man from me.
Only after you said I could.
So I said to Jones, I was thinking about buying the Spider-Man pinball machine from Chuck Emery of Spooky Pinball Podcast. But then I was like, nah, I want a laser engraver more. So my last purchase was a laser engraver of the year. And then I mentioned to Jones and Blueshirt, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be buying a pinball machine now that I bought this laser cutter.
Yeah, and you were like, so now's your chance to get in there if you want to get in there or something like that. And so then that night I texted Chuck, and I had the Indiana Jones machine that he'd really been salivating over. And so I was like, well, how about Indiana Jones plus some cash for Spider-Man? And then he's like, oh, you got pics? And so I sent him a bunch of pictures, and about 50 text messages later, we had it figured out, and the next day I borrowed Ben's car and went down and picked it up. So.
The cruel irony.
Yes.
And I cried tears of pain. Wow, whatever. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Well, we're working on new machines too.
Yep.
We have there's one John Popadook's doing, which is the Ben Heck Zombie Adventureland, right?
Yep.
Then we're doing Tesla versus Edison, and then after that, we're not sure. But we'll see.
We've got ideas.
Yes. Oh, Blue Shirt and I had an idea tonight. Ghost Squad.
Oh yeah.
Because we've talked about doing Bible adventures.
Yeah.
As you know, yeah. But I don't know if I could actually do that without making it funny or ironic.
Yeah.
And I would only do if I could make it absolutely completely straight laced.
Yeah.
But I don't think I could do it.
Okay.
So, but I thought, you know, ghost hunting. I mean, who cares if you make fun of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And women would like it.
It'd be a decent theme, yeah. So.
Yeah. But what we should do is we should get Lost fully programmed for Midwest Gaming Classic.
Yes.
Okay, let's see. So, what's the best game you think you've played this year? What's your favorite so far?
Did it have to be released in the last year? Or just that I played?
Sure, just that you played.
I actually think I'd say Heavy Rain.
Oh, I've heard it's good.
I just played through that like in the last few days or whatever, and it's really, really good. I was surprised because I bought it on Black Friday for like $15, and it was sitting there. And what was it? I had finished off Lego Harry Potter 2, and I was like, "Eh, what the hell? Heavy Rain's sitting here. I'll play that." And popped it in and. it's like a really, really good book where it's like you keep thinking, oh, I should put this down, but it's like, no, I'm just going to read one more chapter, and it's kind of like this game. It's like, I'll just play one more level.
Oh, how Breaking Bad, the TV show, is.
Okay. Yeah, and it's... Because it's neat because there's like four or five characters that you kind of keep bouncing between, and you play through these different levels, and it's, you know, you're kind of like trying to get to the bottom of this mystery. Like, one of the characters is trying to find his son who's been abducted. There's another guy who's trying to solve, like, the case of all of these disappeared kids or abducted children and murders and stuff. And then there's like a woman who's like a journalist that's kind of researching the story and all this stuff. And then, of course, you know, all their stories eventually kind of come together in the end, and the plot gets tied up pretty nice, and it's got a pretty cool twist in it at the end, although I think it got ruined.
Yes, I was just going to say, Kurt ruined it for me. Otherwise, I would have played it by now because I heard it was good.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you know what happens at the end, it would take a hell of a lot out of the game, I think, because...
Like the Sixth Sense.
Yeah, because playing through it, it's just like, oh, wow, you know, it's a really emotional game, too. It's interesting, you know, you get a lot invested in the characters because they're really well portrayed.
Here's a question. What makes it better in your mind than L.A. Noire-E, which is probably a similar game?
Yeah, they're kind of similar. I think just, like, the characters are better and connecting with the characters more so. Like, you feel a much larger investment.
But L.A. Noire-E had Fringe in it.
That's true. I mean, L.A. Noire, you know...
Call me Fringe.
La Noire was pretty cool, but...
So we had this idea to reboot the show Fringe.
Yep.
the blonde woman is going to go, and then the tall black guy says, I'm going to introduce you to one of our best agents, codename Fringe. And then John Noble comes out and says, call me Fringe. What do you think?
There it is.
He's like, the Oceanic Survivors. Oh, wait, that's a different show. Call me Fringe.
Yeah, because Ben would keep, while we were working on the Lost pinball machine, Ben would keep talking about Fringe, because I've never watched it. And he was telling me about Denethor being in it. And I'm like, well, is his name Fringe? And he's like, no. And I'm like, well, he should be called Fringe.
Well, so you should probably, you know, say that would be a Denethor great show. From Lord of the Rings, who is the guy who made the Hobbit sing while he ate the food and then burned himself.
There you go.
He plays, like, the old scientist on Fringe, which is a really good show for about the first two seasons.
Yeah.
Well, it's basically the X-Files, but it's good.
And so that's where the whole call me Fringe thing came from, because...
Yep, and then you have to misquote the dialogue from Lord of the Rings, which is like a 10-year standing tradition.
Well, of course.
So what does he say? He said, "Bring oil and sticks," or something. just think, less than a year, it'd be pudding time for the Hobbit.
Yep, and then one more year after that for Part 2.
We have to drag Dale down here for that.
We will.
It'd really be like one of the things where we can get everyone. Remember when we went to see Star Trek?
I mean, I didn't go to that.
You didn't?
No.
We had like,
because wasn't it like 15? Mary and her dad and stuff, and there were, Dave
and Tim, and I think we had almost an entire row at the theater.
Oh, Populin probably went too.
Pretty much, I've never gone to a single movie with that many people before. And
yeah,
Star Trek, it was kind of weird. But it had to be like that for Hobbit.
Yeah.
Which has...
Did you see the trailer for that?
Yes.
I saw it, and it just... I mean, it looks like the Lord of the Rings and all that, you know, which is great, but I don't know, it didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I'll go. I mean, it wasn't.
I mean,
like,
I'll go see it, but
I mean, it wasn't as exciting as the Skyrim trailer. Remember the Skyrim trailer with Max von Sydow? He's like, "When it dawns in blood or flames or something,
or fire,
and
or
then
some
your
shit,
character's
yeah.
like, Tovika!" That actually sent chills down my spine. But, I don't care. I'll go see it no matter what.
Yeah.
Just like I'll go see the Avengers no matter what. And that's
well, yeah, it's
it.
Got Scarlet in it.
Whose superpower is being hot, right?
That's right. It's a good superpower to have.
Yeah. I think they're converting that to 3D posthumously.
Yeah, I saw that.
Ugh.
Lame.
Can't the directors just say no?
Christopher Nolan can.
Well, look at, like, Mission Impossible, Chipmunks, Sherlock. I mean, actually, a lot of non-3D movies came out, and they're still making money. Huh?
What a shock.
I think the problem is, you know, all these rich people that make movies, you know, the one percenters, it's like they don't realize how expensive it is to go to their own goddamn movies.
Yeah.
You know, especially, like, these families. I mean, that's the reason why, like, you know, the kid movies are consistently good earners, is because if there's the movies they do go to, they have to take their whole families to.
Yep. You'd think they'd start to understand that because they see, you know, like the box office receipts, but then they also see like the attendance numbers, and it's like every year the attendance numbers go down.
It's the same thing with the post office, you know. Post office keeps losing money, and so they raise the price of stamps to make more money back, but the more they raise the price of stamps, the less mail is posted, so they actually charging more money causes them to lose more money.
Yeah.
It's almost exactly the same phenomenon, your favorite movie. I'm John Travolta, and I'm psychic or something.
And my finger glows or something, whatever was going on that DVD cover.
So what was the deal with that Season of the Witch movie with Nicolas Cage? I mean, that was a movie he made?
I don't know. He had, like, you know, long, crazy hair in it.
Re-instigate shitty movie nights. I bet, like, Andy or Andrew or Chuck would be up for that.
I'm sure Chuck would be.
I mean, Chuck has life-size replicas of Tom Servo and Crow T Robot in his downstairs TV room. I'm pretty sure he'd be up for watching shitty movies.
Well, yeah, what the hell was he watching with his kid that one day? It was like some 60s TV show involving like a giant claw attacking Godzilla or some shit. I don't know what the hell it was.
Oh, was it?
He just told me there was like some massive, like, animatronic claw that was attacking something.
There was actually a shitty movie called The Claw about this giant killer bird. I think it was actually a Burt I. Gordon film who did, like, The Amazing Colossal Man, and is from Wisconsin.
Hmm.
Oh, and he did the Beginning of the End, which is the movie where giant grasshoppers attack Chicago, but they just set grasshoppers on postcards of Chicago buildings. Literally. Oh, God. And Peter Graves is like, I am Peter Graves from the University of Minnesota. All right. So, I guess Skyrim is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, like these games, you can beat a game in 10 or 15 hours, and I already have 75 hours on Skyrim. So, I guess just by going that alone.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes. It's buggy. Yeah. It's not as buggy as New Vegas. No way. But, you know, think about how big those games are. And
yeah.
I mean, it's a miracle they work as well as they do, to be quite honest. But, you know, it does everything that, you know, it's evolution of Oblivion and Fallout. And then, of course, you think about it, it's like, wow, imagine, like, when they make Fallout 4 on the next-gen console, what that's going to be like.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I've only played Skyrim for probably 3 or 4 hours so far.
Like, how did you manage that?
I don't know, because I bought that and.
Did you go to Skyrim Rehab or something?
Maybe.
They tried to make me go to Skyrim Rehab, and I said no, no, no.
Well, you fared better than Amy Winehouse.
Yes, I lived past 27. Achievement unlocked. Well, I guess Amy Winehouse. Remember my reality TV show idea called Death Race?
Oh, that's right, and it was going to be
Charlie Sheen,
yep.
Amy Winehouse, and Lindsay Lohan.
So Winehouse was the
and they were going to be in this
the
house,
winner,
and then
I guess.
Basically the show was about who dies first. And yeah,
yeah, I'm impressed Sheen made it. I figured he'd be dead by now.
Do you think Amy Winehouse purposely tried to kill herself at 27 so she died the same age as Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix and Kurt Cobain? They were all 27.
I don't think so. Maybe that's just a magic age that...
Although, if I looked like I was 45 at age 27, I'd probably want to die, too.
Well, didn't she have, like, emphysema, or at least symptoms of emphysema already? Because she
something that no one hurt that age should have.
Yeah, because she'd been, you know, doing so much crack and stuff.
Well, Whitney Houston survived so far. Oh, wait, no, she used cocaine because she famously said, I don't do crack, crack is for poor people.
She actually said that.
She said that in an interview.
Wow.
Okay, so I guess gaming trends. We already talked about how everything's becoming zombified.
Yeah, for some reason.
So, portables and tablets. So, the 3DS, while not a failure, has underperformed compared to the DS. And Vita seems like it's going to have a soft opening, and it's also really expensive, and the memory cards are a joke.
How much is that thing, anyway?
It's $250.
Okay.
But then you have to buy a memory card with it, and the cheapest one's like $40. And I guess it's like, you know, oh, we have these, you know, proprietary cards because you have to use a Class 10 speed card.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
But the cards, they're basically at least twice as expensive as they should be for, like, solid-state memory.
Okay.
So, you're really talking about, like, a $290 system.
All right.
But I guess the point we're trying to bring up is now that, like, smartphones and tablets are so prevalent, is there room for these portable gaming consoles?
I don't know. It seems kind of like a dying area for hardware, I would think. Like, I think, you know, the smartphones and tablets will just kind of consume that space.
Now, a smartphone I can sort of see because it's something that... Shit, I've seen 8-year-olds in airports with smartphones or iPhones.
Yeah.
That's an example of someone with too much money. That's something, you know, you have with you, but, you know, like someone preferring, like, a $500 iPad over, like, a $200 DS, how does that make sense?
But what about when you get to, like, you know, $200 Kindle Fires and stuff like that?
Makes even less sense. Well, actually, no, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can run all those Android
games on it. And...
Did that do well?
Yeah, I guess it's, like, the best-selling thing on Amazon. Like, ever since it came out, it's been number one.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's like the... I think it's the first product on Amazon to be the number one selling item for, like, 15 straight weeks or whatever the hell it's been now.
Yeah, because it's got... So. It basically is an Android device, so it has its own Netflix app and the on-demand app. And yeah, really, if anyone's going to give Apple a run for its money in that space, it's going to be Amazon.
Yeah, I think so.
Especially, well, it's not as, the screen's not as big as an iPad, but, you know, you're talking about, like, less than half the cost.
Yeah, and it doesn't have a camera and shit like that.
Oh, the camera,
like,
on an
cares?
iPad is shit.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's like, you can have a shit camera or no camera.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, see, like, the Vita has a front-facing camera and a rear-facing camera, and they're both shit? Why?
Well, it was like the iPad 2, you know, it was like basically they put the camera in it just so they could check off that, you know, box to say, like, oh, it's got a camera, even though it's shitty. It's
I saw
got
someone
it.
At PAX taking photos with an iPad, and I was like, you look like an idiot.
Yeah, it's like...
Sorry, whoever that was.
Holding up this, like...
Yeah, like the Ten Commandments
or
something.
Notebook or something, yeah.
It looks so stupid. Although, you know, I think, you know... Discrete cameras, I'm sure their sales are down because nine times out of ten, like, the cell phone camera is good enough.
Yep, and it's something you've got with you anyways.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Like, if I wanted a portable gaming device, it's like, why would I carry that and a phone?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is, a really expensive app on a phone is $7.
Yeah.
Like, any DS game is like $20 or $30. Like, the Vita games might be, like, 40 to 50.
Jesus.
I
mean, the only thing I can say for, like, the gaming handsets or whatever is that that's, like, their focus is the gaming. So, you know, if you're a parent or something and you just want to get your kids something that they're going to play games on, you know, they can't go on the internet with it, they can't, you know, do any of this other garbage. It's
but
just
they
for
can.
Playing games. Well, yeah, I guess they can go on the internet with those too, but
there's a Netflix app for 3DS.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, then never mind.
Actually, I think there's a Netflix app for my remote car's door opener. It's on everything, but it sucks on Xbox now. I don't care what anyone thinks; it's terrible.
See, I always thought the PS3 one was better anyway.
Well,
so.
You certainly think that now. Oh, God, it's got... It took a perfectly good app and ruined it.
Yeah. But, like, with the portable gaming systems too. I think like maybe you can have bigger games for those, you know, or deeper ones. But I mean, the thing is, it's like, how important is that? You know, like me, if I'm going to play a game that's going to take me, you know, like 15 hours to get through, I'd rather be sitting on my couch playing it on a TV than playing it, you know, on some little portable device.
Yeah, I don't buy this whole thing that everything's going to portable devices. I mean, you're not going to make a game like Skyrim on an iPad. Yeah. And even if you did, you're not going to want to play it. You know, I mean,
yeah,
it's, you know, that's the kind of game you play on your TV, you know, or your computer.
Yeah. Like, yeah, to me, it's like tablets and phones and all that are like, you know, short little burst games, you know, where it's like, oh, I'll play this for 5 or 10 minutes.
Right.
You know, and get my fix.
Like puzzle games.
Like puzzle games or whatever I kind of like playing, I'm just for a quick little...
Do you mean your Windows Phone 7?
That's right.
Jones is the guy who bought the one that was sold.
That's right. Raise my fist and resist.
So, how do you like it?
It's pretty good. I don't have any complaints. It's pretty, does what I need it to do, you know, I like the interface, and it's, you know, easy to navigate, and, you know, like they say, you know, jump in and jump back out quick out of stuff you're trying to do. It's, you know, nice and snappy, so... You know, big deal if it doesn't have, you know, dual processors and shit like that. It's, you know, why does a phone need to have that?
Well, so your battery can go dead faster?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the only thing I would like with it is that its battery life were a little better. I mean, I think it's like between an iPhone and an Android device, but it's...
Well, BlackBerry is still like the king of that, isn't it?
Is it?
iPhone's a lot better than Android, I know that.
Yeah, I mean, iPhone's better than
Well, the screen's smaller, I'm sure that's a big part of it. Although, it's like when you use iPhones now, it seems like the screen's too small. It's like you look at it like, make a bigger screen, goddammit. Maybe if they ever make iPhone 5. That's why I think they had made iPhone 4S. Any other time it would have been iPhone 5, but they knew if they would have called it iPhone 5, people would have said, hey, this has no new features.
Yeah.
Or one new feature or whatever. They kind of caught in this hard place where, like, after they got the antenna working better, iPhone 4 is pretty good, you know? It's like the Beetle, the car, not the group.
So,
which Beetle do you think will die next?
What are there? There's just two left,
Ringo
right?
Starr and George Harrison.
No, McCartney.
Oh, right. You're right.
Harrison got knifed, right?
Well, that isn't what killed him.
That's not what killed him,
but
he got knifed, like, what, 6 months or a year before he died?
I'm sure it didn't help.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. McCartney keeps marrying people, right? I could see him dying before Ringo.
Oh, didn't he divorce the one-legged hooker, though?
Yeah, but I think he's getting hitched to somebody else, or maybe he already married him and got divorced again.
Why doesn't he just keep his money? I suppose he's got enough, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he just... Maybe he likes giving away money to women or something, so he's like, here, I'll marry you, and then you can divorce me in 2 years and take half my wealth.
Is Ringo Starr still married to Barbara Bach, I wonder? Let's look up real quick.
I don't know. I think they got divorced, didn't they?
I don't know. Here we go, Ringo Starr. Okay, so he's 71 then?
I know he was still touring, like last year. He brought out a new album or something, and... I saw him on Conan, I think it was, and he was going to be going on tour.
Let's see.
Oh, there he married somebody else in February. Oh, that was in the 60s, though. Okay.
Is he still married to her?
How many wives has he had?
That's the last one they mentioned.
Barbara Bach?
Yeah.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, people can like call Ringo Starr ugly all they want, but he married Barbara Bach. So, oh, I saw
he got something right. I guess
someone tweeted that Steve Tyler is getting married again, and they said that his new wife looks a lot like him, but she actually looks a lot like Liv Tyler. So
oh,
it's
really?
Like, I guess he finally fulfilled those fantasies. You remember those videos with her and Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it was kind of gross.
Kind of weird, yeah.
Like,
that
who puts their daughters in videos like, oh, yeah, she's a Catholic schoolgirl or who's a stripper? This is going to be the greatest video ever. I'm Steve Tyler.
Then I'm going to fall down in a bathtub and bust up my face.
Then I'm going to be an American Idol. So, yeah, I'm going to SES, so I'm sure it's going to be all tablets like it was last year.
Probably we'll so.
Well, Windows 8 has like an ARM version, and it has the tiles that look like a tablet.
Yes.
I just can't see a world where I would only want to use tablets and not a real computer.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean,
tablets have their place, but they're, I don't know, to me they're still like goddamn toy.
Yeah, I mean, they're very nice toy, yes.
Yeah, but...
So are you going to do your taxes or a spreadsheet on a tablet? I mean, you can, but it's not as easy as a keyboard.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to make a podcast on a tablet? Maybe you could.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, they're basically for people with too much money or people with too much money that want to buy an easy computer for their mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just said that. But... Yeah, I guess we'll see. I'm curious to see Windows 8 because I guess it can run in like this tile view, kind of like the Metro.
Mm-hmm.
But then you click one of the tiles, and then the tile blows up and it's regular Windows.
Yep. Yeah, your Windows desktop's just like a tile.
But you know, which makes sense. I had that Acer tablet I was using for that project that I didn't finish.
Oh, yes.
For Cellevision. And... anyway, it was a tablet, and it had Windows 7 on it, and it was a pretty cool tablet, but, you know, the thing is, I think the problem that all the tablets with Windows have had before is that they're just a tablet with a touchscreen that runs Windows.
Yeah.
The interface isn't really meant for touch, which is what Apple does right.
Yep.
So I looked at that, and I'm like, well, this is a pretty cool tablet. The form factor was, you know, I mean, it's thicker than an iPad, but still reasonable. And it's like, yeah, if this had a better UI when it's in tablet mode, it would be pretty cool, and I guess that's what Windows 8 is.
Yep.
So speaking of that, there's a rumor that Xbox 720, which it won't be called, will be ARM-based.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people think that just because of tablets or what?
Yeah, I don't know if it's that or if it's just, you know, because they know that Windows 8 is being developed to be able to run on ARM. And so, you know, the assumption is probably that the next Xbox is going to run a flavor of Windows 8. At the very least, which that wouldn't surprise me, but it doesn't have to be on an ARM processor to run Windows 8 either. So I don't know where that rumor's coming from exactly. But
yeah, I don't know enough about the architecture. ARM stands for Advanced Reduced Instruction Set Computer Machine. So now PowerPC, which is what Xbox 360 is based off of, which PowerPC actually is an acronym too. I don't know what it's for. It's a really stupidly long one. Like the PC in it is not personal computer. It's like power computing or something. Anyway, that's also a risk, a reduced instruction set computer. I don't know how compatible it would be. We were talking about this earlier, though. The issue I think would come up is backwards compatibility between Xbox and Xbox 360 was a bitch because... You know, the first one was an Intel x86, and then the second one was PowerPC.
That's why they had to do it with software. So,
the Xbox 360 has been much more successful than the Xbox One. So you'd think that there'd be a lot more games that you'd want backwards compatibility for. And although I typically think backwards compatibility is a non-issue, what about all the downloaded games? That's basically that whole scene has started since, you know, the Xbox 360... current generation. So would Castle Crashers, for instance, run on your Xbox 720? I mean, would it have to be recompiled? My point is there's actually a bigger need for backwards compatibility because of the downloaded games.
Yeah.
Because you bought those games, they're yours, quote-unquote, forever.
Yep.
I mean, GamerScore and all that jazz will carry over, but that should too.
Yeah. And plus, there's a lot of people that like to play... go back and play some older games to get achievements or what have you, and so that option still needs to be available. And I think the big thing is that consoles over time have to become more PC like in that way, where they can, you know, continue to play games beyond just their own generation.
Well, especially if you're selling people digital copies of games, they really need to.
And they're doing that with more and more of the retail games now, too. You know, you go on Xbox and they have the games on demand. And they've got, you know, you can buy the Mass Effect games, BioShocks, all that stuff, and just, you know, download them to your machine.
Yeah, and some games come on demand fairly soon, too, which is cool.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that brings up another good point. For everyone out there who's upset about the online pass that these companies are starting to do, the ultimate goal of the software industry will be to only sell you digital copies, so you might as well just get used to it.
Yep.
I mean, that's why GameStop is starting to trade in and like iPods and things, because they know it's not going to last forever.
Yep. Well, yeah, and you see that, like today I went to GameStop and they had stuff all over the store that it was like, you know, trying to convince people to buy DLC at GameStop, because you can buy, you know, like the passcode or whatever to download the Call of Duty map packs and shit at the store. And it was just like, you know, DLC's better at GameStop. You know, it was all over the place. And it's like, how is it better? You know, it's like I can either just go home and buy it on my Xbox.
It's better because it wastes paper to print up a card. And
yeah. But it's like, you know, that's one of their, you know, ways that they're kind of reaching, you know, to try to maintain relevance, I guess.
Yeah. They know what's going to happen. It will. So, yep. It's. But you know what? I know people always say, like, oh, well, Ford doesn't charge you for buying a used car and blah, blah, blah. But a used car is not the same as a used game. Mm-hmm. It has less value.
Yep.
And Steam is a good example. Like, right now on Steam, you can buy Deus Ex for the new one.
$16. Yeah.
So, in a way, it, like, makes it easier to make cheaper versions of a game. You know, if they want to have a super sale like that, they don't have to get Kmart or Best Buy to do it. They just make it cheap. I mean, I guarantee that the game's not going to be $16 at GameStop right now.
Yep.
Oh, remember GameStop removed that same game? They removed those On Live tokens from it?
Oh, that's
right. Remember
that
fiasco?
Yeah.
On Live is another good example. I mean, I guess that's coming to, like, phones. And, like, you know that stupid Sony thing they made, the Xperia Play?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That has On Live. That makes sense because it has a controller.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. Well, apparently the online version of L.A. Noire is good. Well, hey, they're the ones that put an E at the end of it, not me.
Well, that's what, you know, the word noir, you know, it's got the E there, so.
Are you sure about that?
Sometimes, doesn't it?
Is it like how Marshall sometimes has two L's?
I think so. I think it can be an either or thing.
Anyway.
I could be wrong.
Anyway, I can't remember what I was trying to say with this conversation.
Oh, no. Noiry.
Oh, anyway, it's my prediction that we will see the next Xbox at E3 2012.
I'm sure it'll be out by this time next year.
I don't have any insider knowledge, just that, it's been 7 fucking years. There should be a new one by now.
Yeah.
Two, they won't let the Wii U release uncontested. PlayStation 4 won't be next year, though. I would say that'd be a year after. Also, remember, Sony has far less money than Microsoft. What's my other reason?
It's been
7 years.
Wasn't there like a job posting for like quality testers or test engineers, something like that?
Yeah, Parker Dillman, the Longhorn engineer, who's a friend of ours, he just finished engineering school, and he was looking for jobs. And he said, yeah, there's a posting for Microsoft. He's like, the only reason they would be posting this is if they had hardware finalized and were just testing it.
Yeah.
And that leads credence to the theory. Yeah, I have a feeling it'll be next year. Like, the Kinect will be there, like, they're like, oh, look, they've gotten more life out of the console. It's like, the console is an ancient piece of junk. Like, it can be like the cheap version with Kinect, and Kinect can still work on the new one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Wii U is graphically more powerful than PlayStation or the Xbox. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically it's a ATI Radeon 4870, which is actually the same thing I have on my old computer. But it can do 1080 visuals, which the consoles cannot. But here's the dirty little secret. You know, even though you're saying, oh, look, I'm running my game at 1080, and maybe the menu's in 1080, the polygon graphics on the screen are quite often not even at 720 lines. Like, all the Call of Duty is like, what, 600?
I think so.
They're sub-HD resolution, and then they're smeared upwards to look like they are. I think Uncharted runs at 720. But Yeah, still.
That's so what do you think they'll call the next Xbox? Xbox HD or something like that?
I'm surprised they didn't call the Wii 2 Wii HD.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes a lot more sense than Wii U. It's like, hey, can we make a stupider name than last time?
Like, I've yes, got we it. Can.
Our marketing department is geniuses. What would they call it? Well, originally, the first one was almost called Xenon.
See, whatever they call it, it's got to have Xbox in it still. Because Xbox, you know, is... It's like PlayStation or whatever, you know. It's like a pretty strong brand.
Yeah, maybe like Xbox Metro or Xbox Next or Kinect Box or...
Xbox Begins.
So, is it any mystery? I think Batman's going to get his back broken in the new movie.
I think it's going to be a pretty cool movie, whatever it is.
You mean The Dark Knight Rises?
Yes.
Right, but I mean, I think. What do you think? I think he's going to
get his back broken. Yeah. I think Ra's al Ghul will be a big presence in the movie, or a bigger presence than we've been led to believe.
You know, if... Speaking of Liam Neeson and Universal's $250 million battleship movie, you got to admit, if there's a part where Liam Neeson is like talking on a ship-to-ship phone and says, "You sunk my battleship," I mean, that right there would make it worth it.
Well, how can you make that movie and not have Liam Neeson but say that?
He's fighting aliens, of course, because every movie now is about fighting aliens.
Yeah.
So why would he be talking to them in English? I mean, if it was like fighting Russians or something, who all speak English in the movies, then he could call them up and just like remember when they took his daughter and he's like, "I'm going to come kill you." Yep. And all the French people talk, you know, in English for some reason.
Yes.
Same thing. He has someone to talk to, but why would he be talking to aliens?
Well, the aliens, you know, could hack into Windows 95 and Independence Day, so maybe it's the same sort of deal here.
Oh, so anyone
maybe who... they understand English.
So for those of you who don't follow movies as slavishly as we do, so Universal's making a $250 million movie based off the board game Battleship, and the premise is all these battleships go out in the ocean, and there's these underwater aliens they have to fight.
Yes.
So every movie's about aliens now, so... And it's got Rihanna in it.
Yeah.
With an umbrella, brella, brella. It's basically Transformers in the ocean.
Yeah, pretty much.
But Liam Neeson is this grizzled captain of a battleship, which means there is the potential for him to say, "You suck my battleship."
Well, they have to have that. I mean, if you don't do that, it's just like, why did you even make the goddamn movie?
I mean, that's the kind of thing where it's like, hey, what if there's a movie where Liam Neeson said, "You sunk my battleship," and then the whole movie springs from that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Of course, remember Crystal Skull?
Yeah. Where
at the end, he calls Shia LaBeouf Jr. at the end, and Shia LaBeouf should have said, "Don't call me Jr.," but he didn't because the movie was terrible.
Yes. It was too obvious, I guess.
I mean, this is Release the Kraken, Liam Neeson talking about here.
He can make anything sound cool, so...
Yep.
Although Dale did over-embellish that one a bit.
That's okay.
I like Dale's rendition of it better than Liam Neeson's. Because Dale is always like, he's like, "Release the Kraken!"
And Liam
but
Neeson...
then when you see it in the movie, he's just kind of like, "Release the Kraken."
Well, he says it with some gusto.
A little, but he didn't go balls out, like... I expected him to.
Maybe an inexperienced crewman will set off a stockpile of depth charges, which obviously would be very relevant today. And then he accidentally sinks a ship.
Oh.
And he's like, "I don't know what I did, man." And then Liam Neeson will grab him by the soldiers and say, "You sunk my battleship." Oh, no, no, no. At the end, there'll be like the last alien ship. And Liam Neeson will have a rocket launcher, and it'll be like, dun, 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 dun. And instead of "smile, you son of a bitch," she'll say, "You sunk my battleship." Like, arbitrarily say it.
Yes.
And then fire the rocket. The point is, it's like one of the things, like, all they have to do is have a where Liam Neeson says, "You suck my mouth."
Yep. Just to validate the existence of the entire film. One line. It's all they got to put in there.
Hey, did you see Cowboys and Aliens?
I did.
Is it any good?
It was actually pretty decent. It was more sci-fi than I expected it to be, but
so it was more aliens than cowboys.
Yes, but it was pretty cool. Like Harrison Ford actually looked like he was like enjoying himself in a movie for the first time in like 10 years.
What if he were to tell someone that they sunk his battleship?
It'd probably just be a lot of mumbling. Be like, you sank my battleship. Blah, 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 blah.
Then he would zoom in on a photograph for 10 minutes, and it would be a sci-fi classic.
Yes.
I don't get that movie. I don't care what anyone says. Although I do really want to see Prometheus.
Yeah, Prometheus looked... I had zero interest in that, and then I saw a girl with a dragon tattoo, and that trailer was on the front of it. That trailer was pretty badass. I gotta give him credit for that.
Well, you'll like the plot. Like, basically, there was a leaked plot synopsis a couple months back, and just looking at the marketing materials, you can tell that's actually the plot.
Yeah.
The premise is that there's some sort of clue to the origin of human life, that it was created by aliens.
Yeah.
So this team of scientists go off looking for it.
Okay.
And then the Prometheus part is... they, like, try to steal something from them. And so the alien creatures are like the... they're like the vengeance of the gods.
Yeah, that should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I think that's a cool plot. I'll go see it. Even though I don't think Ridley Scott's that great of a director, but...
he's made some good stuff, though.
Yeah, at least he... I mean, he's been around a while. He certainly can't...
because Charlize is in it, right?
Yep, Charlize and
who's Magneto
is in it.
Yep.
And, Thor's friend is in it. The guy who's the gatekeeper, you know, in Thor.
Oh, Idris Elba.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, oh, and then the Swedish girl with a dragon tattoo is in it.
Oh, yeah, Noomi Rapace, or however you say her name.
Yes. Which is completely different from Rooney Mara.
Yeah.
Is that a prerequisite to be a girl with a dragon tattoo? You have to have a hard-to-pronounce name, I guess?
I guess, yeah.
Mila Jovovich was probably like, "I want to be a girl with a dragon tattoo."
I even have the tattoo already. But yeah, oh. I saw that trailer for Prometheus, and I was like, holy shit, this looks awesome.
Yeah.
It's just got that cool, like, brr, like, with the editing and stuff, with the sound. I don't know. It was a well-done trailer, I think.
Now,
so.
Even though we both know Aliens is the best Alien movie.
I don't think both of us know that.
The first one is still pretty good.
Alien is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That one just kicks ass. See, I guess it depends what you like. Like, you know, I think you like Aliens not just because Cameron did it and Paxton's in it, but because it's more action-oriented, I would say, maybe.
Well, it's like with Jurassic Park. It's like, pick up a gun and shoot a dinosaur, for Christ's sake.
Where I like the first one's, like, slower pacing, and it's more, like, psychological and stuff. Like, that's more my type of movie, where it's more like a thriller.
Yeah, I wonder what he'll do with Prometheus. I wonder if it'll be that same pace.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool how they did the title Prometheus the same way
they did Alien.
And this is going to sound really geeky, but I noticed they kind of, even the letters for Prometheus, they kind of flickered their luminosity a little bit to make it look like it was an optical composition. Maybe I just imagined that, but... Oh, and this big greasy space jockey's in it, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked cool. I was shocked.
Why didn't you think it was gonna be? What did you think of?
I don't know. I just thought it was one of those movies where when I heard about it, I'm like, what the fuck's the point? You know, that's basically like an Alien prequel. It's like, who needs this? But then when I, you know, saw it and then hearing what the plot is, it's like, oh, okay, that could actually be cool. So
where are we? Okay, so I guess that just leaves movies since we went through the rest of our topics.
Yes.
Oh. So Tom Cruise apparently isn't over yet, apparently.
Yes. I never thought it was, but that's because I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan, so even if his movie made like $5, I would still think that he was awesome, so...
Hey, remember when we were working on Pinball a couple weeks ago and you were like, "I saw Mission Impossible only made $4 million yesterday."
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? It's like, and we thought it was like this huge bomb.
Yeah, I was like all sad.
But it turns out it was just an advanced screening, and it was actually really good.
And it was only IMAX, too. Like, I didn't realize that they were only doing it on IMAX, like a handful of screens or whatever. But then, yeah, Ben went and looked it up online and then found out that it was only on, like, some, you know, trivial number of screens. And it's like, oh, holy shit, it actually did really good then.
Yeah. And then the real IMAX screens, and only the real IMAX screens, had the Batman preview in front of it, too.
Yeah, which was, like, what, 25 theaters? Something like that.
It's depressingly few real IMAX screens in the country, yeah. But luckily there's one in Fitchburg, so...
Yeah, we got to go check it out. So we did get to see the Batman prologue.
Oh, yeah.
Which...
I heard this rumor that Warner Brothers is secretly concerned about Bane's dialogue, but they're afraid to say anything to Nolan.
He is hard to understand.
It's like something like a Scottish person talking through a garden hose.
Yeah, it's... I mean, I hope they realize they need to do something about that, because it was really hard to understand him.
Yeah, like in the actual trailer that came out, like, he says something, and I'm like, what the hell does he say? And then I read what he says. It's like those ghost hunting shows where they're like, we picked up a ghost voice, and then they play it back, it's like, it doesn't sound like anything,
yeah.
But then they subtitle it, and then I hear it now.
Yeah.
Like, in the trailer, he says, when Gotham is ashes, you have my permission to die, or something.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that unless, like, I was told that.
Yeah, you could make out, like, parts of it, you know, but not, like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, like, in the prologue thing, it's like, they're on this plane that's got, like, the door open on it, and then Bane's, like, talking.
Yeah, there's plenty of reasons.
So there's all sorts of...
to not hear.
...noise beyond just the fact that...
Well, basically, in that situation, you wouldn't be able to hear anything.
Yeah. But it's like, as a movie, you know, you should be able to hear what he's saying. And so, yeah, hopefully they recognize that's a problem and fix it. Otherwise, it seemed like it should be pretty cool. Like,
I'm sure it will.
That sequence was pretty epic.
Yeah, it's like, it was done in daylight, and then you're watching it like, oh, they really did this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Mission Impossible, which was only the second movie I saw this year in the theater.
Yeah, what was the other one? Captain America?
Captain America. I guess they just don't make movies for people over 30, is that? I don't think I've seen that few movies since I've had my driver's license.
Wow.
Like, yeah, even when I was, like, in high school, I would go to more movies than that.
Yeah. Yeah, Mission Impossible 4 was pretty badass. I expected it to be good, but it was, like, way better than good, I thought. It was, like, a hell of a damn good movie.
Oh, it was directed by Brad Bird,
Yeah, well, it was, like, his first live-action movie, but, yeah, it was just, it was neat because it had these action sequences, you know, that would start out, and there'd be, like, the stuff, and it would just kind of keep going, and keep
yeah.
getting, like, worse and worse, and... You know, it's like, holy crap, you know, how's this going to end, you know?
Like the sandstorm chase?
Yeah, because that just kept going, and...
Yeah, so often in movies, they kind of abort sequences, like, oh, look, the bad guy got away, you know, but yeah, in that movie, yes, you're right. And it's just like, this was just constantly things happening, too.
Yeah. And even though it's kind of in this, you know, exaggerated world, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, like, the stuff seemed... realistic within the confines of that world, like when they're going down that hallway and they've got that camera that's projecting the image.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Obscure them,
but
yeah.
Like they show the camera tracking the guard's eyes, mm-hmm. and then it moves based off his perspective. So if you actually were to make that, that's how it would have to work.
Yeah,
it's
so
kind
it
of like
sense.
In Mission Impossible 3, where they show how the masks were made.
Yeah,
you could never actually build that in reality, but if you did have to do it, that's how it would work. Mm-hmm. Do you remember they had to take all the different angles of photos of Philip Seymour
yeah,
Hoffman?
Yeah, that's right.
See, that's what I love in movies is, like, when they have this sketchy technology and they explain it as best they can,
yeah,
that's cool. And yes, so yeah, the scene Jones is talking about, they're trying to break into the Kremlin, and there's a guard at the end of a hallway. And so they make a noise, so he walks away, and then they put up this huge screen, and then... the screen has a camera behind it, So they can hide behind the screen, but the screen projects the wall behind them, so it looks like they're not there.
Yeah.
And then the screen is two-dimensional, but it tracks the guard's eye movement so they know what his perspective is, and it changes the images based off that.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's like, wow, yes, that's... It probably wouldn't work, but if it did, that's how to do it.
Yeah, then the way it, like, screws up or whatever is that more than one guard shows up, and so then it keeps tracking between the two different
guards.
And
then it breaks.
And so they start to realize something.
Or like when Simon Pegg like stood up in front of the camera and his face was on the screen.
Oh yeah. And then Tom like yanks him down quick.
Well, do you notice like in the opening credits like the director of special effects was John Knoll, the guy who invented Photoshop. I mean, you know, it's like top flight, you know, movie. Well, like it's like the stuff in Dubai, like, it looked perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, it was completely seamless. In so many movies everything looks like CGI BS.
Yeah, like that shot where when Tom goes out onto the outside of the building and the camera kind of like tips up over his shoulder, and then it, as he walks out the window and then sticks his hand to this glass like 100 stories up in the air, like the camera goes up over his shoulder, looks down, and then rotates with him up against the glass on the outside of the building, and it's like this one continuous shot, and it's just like, wow, holy shit. It is, and on like IMAX, you know, it was very impressive seeing that as well with that massive screen. And
I think they actually did shoot that on that tower.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's tons of effects, but you can't even see them.
Yeah, you just can't tell what's an effect and what's not.
I mean, it kind of reminded me of the Star Trek reboot in some ways. I mean, a lot of the plot stuff was kind of, I don't know, sketchy. Well, not... But it didn't matter because the movie was exciting and fun.
Yep.
Because the thing is, when a movie's boring, that's when you start to notice the plot holes and they piss you off.
Yeah.
Well, that whole end sequence where they're having the fight on that car parking thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then he drives the car off the ledge.
Yep.
And then he says, mission accomplished. But it's kind of cool that, Brad Brewer, you know, who directed Iron Giant and The Incredibles and Rat Chef. It's his first live-action movie, and he did a great job.
Yeah, there were things, too, like... I won't give it away at the end of the movie, but there's like a very like satisfying thing they do with the story, like for people that saw Mission Impossible 3.
Oh yeah.
That, you know, they didn't have to do,
but
they did.
Did
it, and it was really nice. So
yeah, you're exactly right. Yeah. Mhm.
So go see it if you haven't, cuz it's probably about the best damn movie out there right now.
Well, it's the one making all the money because it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been plenty of movies where the fourth movie is great, like Star Trek or...
Whales.
Yep, or something else, maybe.
Yeah, what is it? Is it?
Rocky IV isn't the best Rocky movie, but a lot of people like it.
Oh, God. Chuck texted me last
night. Oh, he texted you about that, too?
Yeah. Or he said he was putting his kids through watching like all six of the Rocky movies in a row, and that they were on Rocky IV.
It's not a good movie. I hate to break this to anyone, especially Chuck.
Yeah,
it's all montages.
Yeah, I mean, it is. If there's a movie that was montage, the movie Rocky IV is it.
I mean, in the beginning, there's basically no plot to it. In the beginning, you know, Carl Weathers comes out dressed up like Uncle Sam, and they have an entire musical number with James Brown to "Living in America." They go through the entire song of him just dancing. Like, the movie, there's nothing to the movie.
Well, there's that training montage. Like, I looked it up last night. It's actually 5 minutes long. Like, that whole training montage with, like, Drago and then, like, Rocky's out in the mountains and shit.
But then half the time he's driving around flashbacking the other movies, too.
Yes. Yeah, it's... It was definitely an 80s movie, that's for sure.
Part 3 I like, you know, because Clubber Lang beats him.
Yeah.
Then he has to get the Eye of the Tiger back from Carl Weathers. And then at the end they're fighting. He's like, yeah, you fight great, but I'm a great fighter. And then he punches and then it freeze frames and goes into the
that's
painting.
Right. Yeah.
And like, why the hell would the Russians cheer for Rocky beating Drago?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
Then they had the fake Gorbachev.
Well, that was a staple of 80s movies.
Oh, and a robot? The robot?
Oh, the robot. That's right.
Was it Pauly's robot or Rocky's robot?
God, I want to say it was Pauly's. I don't think Rocky would live life to that excess. That had to be Paulie.
I never used one. let's see. What other movie stuff can we talk about? We're not too far over our time limit.
Well, there was... Well, I guess you didn't see Dragon Tattoo, but I saw that, and it was quite good. I've actually seen all the Swedish movies as well, and I read all the books, and I thought the American version of the movie was better than, like, the Swedish one. I mean, the problem for me with the Swedish one was always that, like, the guy that plays Blomqvist, he just doesn't seem to fit the role, because in the books, the guy who's Blomqvist, who's played by Daniel Craig in the American version, he's kind of like this ladies' man and all this stuff, and the dude in the Swedish movies just, I don't know, never convinced me that he was somebody that, you know, women would be, like...
But you put James Bond in there, and then it makes sense?
But yeah, it's like James Bond. It's like, eh. And actually, when they cast...
Daniel Craig kind of looks like the guy from Mad Magazine.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but... I don't really get the big sex appeal of Daniel Craig for women, but... Other than, I guess, that he's just, like, ripped, but...
Well, I guess that would do it, maybe.
But I know, like, when I read the books and stuff, like... And then they cast Daniel Craig in the American one, I was like, you know, that makes sense. Like, he was actually kind of sort of what I envisioned for that character, because he's kind of, you know, middle-aged, rugged, you know, he's not like a Tom Cruise or somebody, you know. He's got, like, you know, a certain kind of world weariness to him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, and they, you know, they didn't, like, shy away from stuff in the American version either. You know, there's, like, some pretty dark shit that happens in the book where there's, like, this rape scene and stuff, and that's pretty important to the overall plot, and that's in there. And
well, Fincher, you know, he's pretty dark.
Yeah, which I thought he was a good choice to direct it as well. And about the only complaint I could level at it is just that I thought, like, while watching it, I was like... Would somebody who hasn't read the books really be able to follow what the hell's going on in certain parts of it? Because kind of at the beginning and the end of it, things are very condensed, and, you know, they move pretty quick over a lot of territory. And
yeah, they had kind of this battle over the runtime on that, I read.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like 240, but I don't know. It just...
Still, like, 20 minutes... I mean, that losing 20 minutes could make it pretty condensed.
Yeah.
Cause... I read something like it should be like a 3-hour movie, but the studio, Fincher apparently doesn't have final cut yet.
Really? Wow.
I don't know. I guess there was a fight over the runtime of that movie.
So maybe that's where it got lost at, because I know, like, most of the movie, it's like, yep, okay, this is all pretty good, but there were just certain parts where I'm like, God, if I didn't have, like, the knowledge of the book in my head... Would I know what the fuck's going on right now, you know?
Yeah, I thought that was... What was the movie that... was that movie where they were in New York and there were gangs? Oh, Gangs of New York?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the last 10 minutes of that movie seemed like it was super rushed and condensed.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of... I see what you're getting at.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe that'll kind of hurt its, you know, performance.
Well, the first time I saw Lord of the Rings, I hadn't read the book. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But, I don't know. I mean, I saw that, you know, people were shooting arrows and stuff and... You know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, you don't have anybody shooting arrows in this, but... She rides a motorcycle.
Are there any orcs?
No, there's no orcs. There's no Uruk-hai.
Whom do you serve? I wonder what the next book to get split into two movies will be.
Oh, yeah, because there's been, what, three now? Like, the last Harry Potter, the last Twilight, and then The Hobbit.
Oh,
Game of Thrones. When are they going to start making those into movies? They already made them into, like, an HBO show.
I don't know. HBO should have finished Deadwood. They just kind of, like, ended that show. Then it was over.
Because it's like, what, Lord of the Rings with sex? Isn't that how Game of Thrones has been described?
Well, everything on HBO is blank with sex.
Yeah, like vampires with sex.
Yep, the Old West with sex.
And swearing.
And Sopranos is gangsters with sex
and swearing.
You should watch Breaking Bad, though. It's really good.
Yeah, I did cave, and I did get Netflix streaming back, because after reading the last two girl with or who books or whatever. I wanted to watch the last two Swedish movies. And
the fourth one would be called The Girl Who Does Something.
Yeah. And so I knew they were on Netflix streaming, and I was like, well, what the hell? I can pay $8 and I can watch them. So I did.
I guess that whole thing happened since our last podcast. Well, a lot of things have happened.
Oh, yeah, the Quickster thing.
See, the problem in the Netflix, well, it's not like Netflix wanted to raise their prices, but I'm sure they're just getting butt-raped by Hollywood for all that content.
Yeah, they are.
Like, all that Stars stuff goes away, like, what is it, the beginning of the year?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's something that's going to kick them in the nuts, too. But still, it's cheaper. It's still cheaper than the alternative. I mean, it's way cheaper.
Yeah.
I mean, like, my big plan when I go to SES is I'm going to watch Super 8 on the way out there and Planet of the Apes on the way back. And
that'll cost you
that'll
as
be like
much
$8 to rent off of Netflix. iTunes.
And it'd be as much of a month of Netflix streaming, yeah.
Or the disc, which I don't. I don't have the disc. I still have the streaming.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Or, like, I rented that People vs. George Lucas on the Xbox. HD version was $6.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's...
Well, that's like I did the Hulu Plus thing, and the other night I was sitting there, and I was feeling like shit, because I've got whatever this, you know, bubonic plague thing that's been going around that everybody seems to have.
Are you going to become a zombie?
I hope not, but... I guess if I were a typical male, I'd be like, yes, but no.
No, I think the guys want to fight zombies, not be zombies.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they want to fight the zombies because they are zombies.
That could be.
Ah, okay, go on.
But I was sitting on the couch, and I was too lazy to, you know, get up and put a Blu-ray in, so I just turned on
Hulu. Oh, that's
Hulu
pretty
Plus.
Lazy.
Yeah, it was pretty lazy. It was all of, like, 6 feet away, but... So I went on Hulu Plus, and then I saw they had... You know, like that Up All Night show, which is that new one with Will Arnett
and
Christina Applegate. And I was like, well, what the hell, I'll watch this. And I wound up sitting there and I watched like all 11 episodes right in a row. And, you know, it was just kind of nice with Hulu Plus, I could just do that and go through it. And it's actually a pretty damn funny show. I was kind of shocked. They've got like, I think for somebody who's got like a baby and stuff, it'd probably be even funnier because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that... You know, it's like, oh, I get that because I've been through it. But there was stuff even for me watching it where there's, like, neighbors, you know, with their stereos up too loud, like, late at night, and they're sitting in the house like, oh, should we call the cops? No, I don't want to call the cops because then they're going to think we're that neighbor that, you know, that neighbor, you know, that does that all the time. And then the music, you know, goes out for, like, 30 seconds. They're like, oh, good, maybe it's done now. And then, doom, doom, you know, it kicks back in again, and they're like... Okay, that's it. I'm calling the cops. And then they're like, and then while Will Arnett's on the phone with the cops, he gives them his last name. And as he's doing that, Christina Applegate like yanks the phone out of his hand and hangs it up. And she's like, what are you doing? You don't give them your real name. And he's like, what? Why not? And she's like, because they're probably going to tell him who it was that called. And so he's like, oh, shit, what do we do now? And so then they're like, well, here's what we'll do. We'll go over to the party and we'll act like we've been there for hours. And so sure enough, they go over to the party and they're all, you know, hanging out, acting like they've been there, trying to be all cool and stuff. But then the cops do show up and the guy who owns the house or whatever, he's like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, he's like, well, do you think, you know, if we just, you know, turn the music down, it'd be okay and we could keep having the party go. And so the cops are like, well, I don't know, we could call them and see. And so, of course, they call them and then Will Arnett's cell phone starts going off.
And he picks up and says, hello, Michael.
And so yeah.
Yeah, I heard it was a success, so that's good.
Yeah,
that's
good. Yeah, I was surprised. But yeah, it's a funny show. And
is that on NBC? Or?
I'm not sure which network it's on. It might be, because they've got like a bunch of the NBC stuff is on Hulu, so it's a good chance.
It sucks. NBC has such good comedies, but for some reason nobody watches them.
Yeah. And, like, Jason Lee shows up on it, too. He's in some of the episodes.
Oh, so. Speaking of Will Arnett, like, Netflix, when they said that they were going to pay for the new season of Resident Development, right there, I'm like, okay, price increase justified.
Well, I think that's going to be the key to their survival in the long run, is that they need to get, like, exclusive content like that. Because I think eventually, you know, you've got companies like Apple, Amazon, Microsoft, you know, all these massive companies with huge cash reserves that are starting to get into this, you know, digital download space with, you know, movies, television, media, whatever, and Netflix doesn't have that kind of capital just sitting around. So I think
they don't have $84 billion laying around?
No.
Really?
What a shock. But, but yeah, so I think that's something that's, you know, going to be important for them going down the road if they're going to be successful. Because, yeah, otherwise, you know, these studios just keep jacking up, you know, the fees that they want for licensing.
I think part of it is out of fear. I mean, stuff like Netflix and digital downloads, that is the future.
Yeah.
I mean, Arrested Development's a good example. Netflix can look at their database and say, oh, look, here's how many people have watched Arrested Development on streaming. I know I've watched the whole thing like at least 3 times on streaming.
Yeah.
It's like, they're like, we have this
data.
Empirical data that shows us that this show is popular.
Yeah.
As opposed to Nielsen's, which is a joke.
Yeah, as opposed to Nielsen's, and then just like, you know, some people doing like an online petition or some crap, you know, saying bring back this show. It's like, yeah, it's real hard data.
Oh, I watched another show, Terriers. I think it was like an FX show.
Okay.
It was one of those shows that only went for 13 episodes. But it's about like these unlicensed private detectives. It's really good. I don't know why it's called Terriers. Maybe that's why it was unsuccessful, because the title has nothing to do with the show.
Probably.
They should have called it Private Eyes and then played like a Hall & Oates song.
Maybe it was Terriers, like Bull Terriers or something, you know, where they don't let go of a case or something.
Maybe that would have been explained if, you know, they'd had their full season run. Because the one guy's like, he's like, we should have business cards made up with a logo. So maybe they're, you know, that season 14 or episode 14.
Yeah, that's when they would have come full circle.
But,
wasn't meant to be.
That was a good show.
That's
right. Like Burn Notice, kind of. With Burn Notice with private eyes, basically.
Okay. And Breaking Bad is Burn Notice with drugs?
Yep, pretty much.
Okay.
You should,
because now that I've got my streaming thing, I figure I can watch that now.
You watch finally the first episode of Breaking Bad, you won't be able to hit next episode fast enough. It's it's really good.
Yeah.
Because the thing that's great about it is it's everything happens. It's not like, you know, Burn Notice, basically the episodes are compartmentalized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you know, we helped the lady stop the person who was scamming her, you know. But in Breaking Bad, everything's connected.
Okay.
But the thing that's great about it is everything. The plot is driven by, like, causality. So, you know, the things they do in this one episode create the problems for the next episode and the next episode. That's why it's so frickin' addicting. Like, I got through season 3, right? And then Tyler said, he's like, oh, yeah. See, it's like one of those shows where they just have every it's in the summer, you know? So
yeah.
They have summer. He's like, oh, yeah, all of season 4 is already on Netflix or Xbox. Then I actually went through all of it on Zune.
Oh, so you bought them all?
Yep, I bought them all. Like $2 a pop. That's how addicting it is.
Wow.
So you should check it out.
How much were they each?
$2. Oh, they just got the standard definition.
Terrible, at least, I guess. But
well, hell, I mean, I watched
compared to cable, you know? It's like...
Exactly. Well, what is that like? Well, I think it was like 12 episodes or $24. Still, I was paying the show. I was rewarding the show that I watched.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, 80% of your cable bill going to Disney and ESPN or whatever it is. Okay. Anything else you want to touch on?
Not that I can think of.
It's Scientology, video games. Paul Haggis, Tom Cruise.
I guess that must have summarized 2011.
Well, we should try to go to E3 like we did 2 years ago.
That'd be cool. I'd be up for that.
Yeah, so maybe we'll be at E3.
Then we can see the new Xbox. Then we could do another E3 podcast, because we did that the last time.
Oh, yeah. The frequency of podcasts will blow people's minds. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, like two in a year's time.
I got to go to Maria Saul's and get like the 40-ounce margarita again.
Yes, while the Lakers win the championship.
And the cars got set on fire.
Yes.
Weren't there like horseback, though? I remember when we were leaving the Expo. Because it was right next to the stadium.
Yeah, because we were leaving, like right when Game 7 was, like Game 7 was that night when we were leaving. Because remember, we went down that street and then we couldn't go that way, so we had to turn around and then go back out around a different way to get the hell out of there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so then we went back down to, or back over to Santa Monica, and then went out on the pier, and then Ben got some massive margarita thing, and sat in the bar while everybody cheered the Lakers on.
Yeah, the restaurant at the end of the Santa Monica pier is called Maria Saul's, and they have, you have giant margaritas there. The end. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, I guess we'll see if our predictions are true. In the meantime, keep playing video games, including Heavy Rain and Skyrim.
Adios.
Chubby Rain.